As we look forward to a week of revival, and we have our council meeting in connection with revival, I would like to encourage all of you to take this time to quiet yourself before the Lord and examine your life and just let God speak into your life and let God have His way with each of us as individuals, marriages, families, and a church. So my encouragement is for each of you to do that. Take some quiet time and let God have His way. And as we look down the road, 2.5 months, there is a 10K race coming up. It's called the Coal Cracker Race. And some of you have participated in that and can identify. I'm not sure how many of you. I know Brian has, and Connie, I did. Lila, you ran that, and maybe others that I forget about, but I don't know how many will do that, but it's an experience that you'll never forget. And I share sometimes, I hopefully can do it again, unless the Lord says differently. But I share that with certain people, and I get different reactions. There's no way I would do something like that. Especially men my age, and I look forward to it. It's hard, and I will never ever forget mile 5 of that race and feeling it and applying it to your Christian life. And what I want to talk about and preach about this morning is running the race set before us. The writer of Hebrews paints a vivid picture of our life and our Christian life as a race. And that's why I love that race. As hard as it is, it's not a walk in the park by any means. You're going to train, you're going to work. But it is like your Christian life. And for me, when I run that race, every time I feel my Christian life and my ministry so, and I make more applications. And that's why I want to be a good Christian. And I want every one of us to be good Christians and to learn how to run the race effectively. And if you ever decide to do that and you have the experience and the feeling of crossing the finishing line, and you talk and walk with people on their deathbed, my both parents, I walked with them, and it's not at all an easy time. And the end of that race, that Shenandoah 10K race, there's just one little hill. That is such a hard hill. To get, but you can't fit, you can't quit. I would never quit unless I couldn't. I would do everything I can to finish because of the feeling of finishing the race successfully and ending well and to be faithful until the end. So the Christian life is not a sprint, but it's a long distance marathon. And it's described so beautifully in the Bible as a race. And I love that picture of a race. And so in Hebrews 12, if you're familiar with those verses, is where we have the verses I want to use this morning for our text. Hebrews 12 is a wonderful chapter. And I've never exhausted this chapter in all my years. And I plan to try to dig deeper into this whole chapter. But it's following the Hebrews 11, which is the heroes of faith, and if you put this all together, Hebrews 10 ends with, "The just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." I've had a Baptist pastor talk to share with me, and he asked what are some of the differences in beliefs, and one of the different beliefs within the Baptists and the Mennonites is once saved, always saved. And we could both go to different scriptures, but I said that I myself and our people primarily will focus on this verse and exhaust this verse and use it as the basis of our life, and it is the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those that draw back unto perdition or destruction. If you look at that word, we're not of those that draw back unto destruction, but we're those that live by faith and move on in our Christian life and run the race. And then you have Hebrews 11. And you put that all together, the heroes of faith ran faithfully, and they have a testimony for us this morning that God is faithful. And that's where Hebrews 12 starts, verse 1. It says, wherefore, whenever you see a wherefore, you stop and you back up to Hebrews 11 and you see why it's therefore, and you see the connection. Because of this, we have, seeing we are compassed about, or we have such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I'm going to stop there, and those are the verses we want to use as our text this morning. But it says that we have a race that is set before us, and we're to run the race that is set before us. Lord willing, when this service is over, we're going home, at least our family is going home to our house, unless we're invited somewhere else. We have a meal ready, and Connie does it day and day, over and over again. A meal will be set before us to eat. I'm confident. I saw it. I know what we're having. And I'm looking forward to it. It's something that is set before you, and you do take it for granted. Many times we take it for granted. The women, the wives, and mothers of our homes just prepare these meals day after day. And I like to compare that to a Christian has a race set before you. It is a race that God sets before us. Now, this race is intentional. All of us need to choose to enter into the Christian life. We are not forced into the Christian life. So all of us need to choose this for our life. Just like all of us this morning have a choice whether you want to run the 10K race or not. It's not a requirement to be a member here of this church to run this race. You have a choice. And it is totally up to you. It has nothing to do with your salvation. But I think there's comparisons that we can make. The Christian life is not forced upon anyone. It is something we choose. And also, when you enroll in the 10K race, there's conditions you need to follow. You cannot start ahead of time. Ezekiel loves to race Grandpa up the hill at their house, and he starts before me so he can beat me. And so that's going to have to change as he gets a little older. I'm sure he's going to have to start the same time so we have a fair race. But we have conditions we need to follow. We need to understand the Christian life. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, we say yes to, and we enter into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, and we follow the Word of God. The conditions are before us, and we have the choice whether we want to engage in this race and run the race that is set before us. No one is forced to follow God. And each of us have a race. This race is personal for each one of us. All of us need to accept our lot in life. All of us are called to different callings. Your race is designed by God. We did not choose where we're born. We do not choose the family we're born into. We do not choose our lot in life. It is a race that is set before us. And this was impressed upon me when we were visiting Riley's in the area, in the region of Isala. And I walked into this village and these children with no clothes on, they were gathered around. This is the first time in their life, I think, that they saw tourists or foreigners, and they stood there in amazement as they watched us. And my heart was so moved. And they would have given us a tour through that village if we had time. I wish we could have, but my point is this, that each one of us could have been born in that little village. And it's so much harder for them to find God. And I tell our children, I don't want you to ever complain about the things in your family you're dissatisfied with. If you have a mother and a father and a home that's secure, thank the Lord. And there's many, many that would love to be born into the situation you were. And so much more is expected of us. So we do need to accept our lot in life, and we do need to run faithfully the race that is set before us. God designed it for us, and we do not choose our race, but we choose how we run. And that's what this verse says. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. All the heroes of faith before us ran this race faithfully, and you look at their lives. I would love to go through Hebrews 11 and look at all of their lives and what they went through and compare it to our lives, and we haven't seen anything in comparison to what they lived through. So we cannot complain about our circumstances. We need to run faithfully the race that is set before us in our time and in our day and in our area where we live. Let's be faithful to the Lord, and let's run the race that is our race. Not compare it with others, because we're all called to run a different race. It's all the Christian race, but our callings in life are different. Some people are frustrated because they compare their course and their race with others. And we need to guard against that. We're called to run the race that is ours. Sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes it is hard. All of us have different experiences. I got a call from Steve Musser this week, and he said he needs to cancel his preaching assignment. He was committed to preach here in April. He's going to Germany for surgery. He said he's like an old man on crutches. And my heart went out to him, and he's too young. And he's got work to do. And we don't understand these circumstances in life that can seem difficult and against our calling, but God is sovereign, and He has a different race for all of us to run. And what this verse is saying, that we are to run faithfully and be successful in our Christian life. And the first thing that we're called to do is to run light. I didn't feel it's necessary to wear a backpack, and I had chapel at school this week, and I was drinking coffee while I'm talking, and had a backpack on and a heavy coat, and I started to ask them what I should do. And they said, get rid of your coffee cup. It's not professional to drink coffee and teach or preach while you're teaching. And also in the Christian life, we need to give attention to weights. It says in this verse that we're to put aside every weight and sin. So we have weights and we have sins. And I want to talk about them differently. But first of all, weights bog you down. A backpack is fine and in place when you're traveling. It's a really good thing to have a backpack to put your things in and to carry them one place to another and to keep your things together. But when you need to catch a flight and you're running through an airport, 1 mile through an airport, to try and catch the next flight, you wish you didn't have a backpack. And we had Cody had a heavy backpack. He got tired of carrying and he gave it to me. And I'm running through the airport with a heavy backpack and I'm wishing I didn't have this backpack. And that's a little what this verse is saying. In our Christian lives, we need to get rid of these weights that bog us down. And we could talk a long time and they would be different for every one of us. But it's things in our lives that are not really wrong. They're things that just weigh you down, keep you awake at night possibly, or take away your peace, or things in your life that are affecting your successfulness and your ministry or whatever it might be. And I didn't know where to start. Because I think my weights would be different than your weights. And I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit speak to each one of us this morning because our weights will be different. Those backpacks that we have on, and we all have some backpacks and some things in our lives, and some they're not wrong. It can be something good, but it's just a weight in your life. It's bogging you down. It is something that is hindering your effectiveness in the kingdom of God. And it can be hobbies. We all like hobbies, and I'm told and was told that every person needs a hobby. I think in ministry, especially people have told me, and I think it is necessary that we have a certain amount of hobbies in our life, things that we thoroughly enjoy, and they're different for all of us. Some of us love to go hunting. Some of us love to do some sports and throw some disc golf and some of those things, shopping or whatever it is. These things are necessary in our lives, but we need to make sure that we don't spend all of our time in hobbies. And if I would spend all my time in a hobby, I think I could have a lot of fun. But it's not my calling. And so we have to all address these weights in our life, whatever they may be, and try to set boundaries so that we have balance in our life and we're able to serve in the ministries in which we're called. Toxic relationships, I believe those can be fallen under weights or sins. I believe unnecessary commitments, and I'm learning that there needs to be boundaries in our life, and I can't take on too many commitments. Whatever the weights that the Lord lays upon your heart, that's what this verse is saying. We are to lay aside and put aside everything that is weighing us down. Weights are distracting, they're draining, and they delay our progress and effectiveness in the kingdom of God. You can't run effectively while carrying things you were never meant to carry or hold. And the issue isn't ability, it is the load that we carry. And all of us have limits, and all of us have different callings. And so this will be applied differently to every one of us here this morning, wherever you're at in life. If you're young, you can take on so much more than when you get older. And so this is different. And I think there is an importance that we do have boundaries in our life. We need personal boundaries. We need marriage boundaries, we need family boundaries, we need ministry boundaries, and so we have boundaries to guard against how many backpacks come on to our shoulders and how many backpacks and things that become weights. Running light. Laying aside sins, besetting sins, is the second one that's mentioned here. We have weights and sins that are to be laid aside. And sins, I believe, refer to things that are wrong. Weights can be things that are not wrong, they're just extra weight. But sins are things that are wrong, and it is sins that can be referred to like a broken leg or a sprained ankle. The word besetting means to ensnare us. And so if you've ever been watching a sports game, or I remember watching the faith tournament and the championship game, one of the good players began to limp. And it is never a good thing when you cannot finish the game and you have a sprained ankle or pain or whatever it is. And so in our Christian life, sin is similar. It's like a sprained ankle or a broken leg. When you see a player going down and everybody gathering around, you're wondering, is he okay? Is he going to be brought back into the game? And sometimes they're walked off and they go to the bench because of an injury. I believe unconfessed sin, and sin is similar. It will wrap around you and it will entangle you, restrict you, and it will take you out of the race. And so we cannot be effective when we have besetting sins that can be in our lives and in our churches. We need to guard against sin and areas of our life that we fail. Unconfessed sin. I believe John 1 makes it very clear that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I praise the Lord for that verse. And it shows me that a Christian needs to walk in the light. And if you're walking in the light, you'll be in a relationship with the Lord. And if you do make mistakes, you can confess them and you can get right with God and you can be brought back into a relationship with God. It is not something that is left alone or will entangle you and lead you deeper and deeper into sin and away from God. So we cannot run faithfully and successfully if we have unconfessed sins. So besetting sins is what we're called to lay aside. Weights and sins. And I think a time of revival is just a time to quiet our hearts before the Lord and just let the Lord speak into our lives. Are there weights in our lives that we need to get rid of? Are there boundaries we need to set so that we can be effective in the race God has called us to? Are there sins that have crept into our lives that need to be confessed? And God will point them out if we're faithful to the Lord and quiet our hearts before the Lord. And that's what I call all of us to this week, to quiet ourselves before the Lord and let Him have His way. In this race, we are not running alone. It says we have this cloud of witnesses. Others have run before us. And if you look at these heroes of faith, they were not perfect. And that encourages me, and it should encourage you. These great men of God, even Abraham, he was not perfect. He was a great hero of faith, but he made mistakes. He yielded to his wife Sarah when they were waiting for their child, the promised son. We make mistakes too. And Abraham knew how to be restored in his relationship with God. We have Isaac and Jacob, and the 12 sons of Jacob were not at all perfect men, but God chose them and used them to bring about a nation. And He can use us too. If we are faithful to the Lord and honest before the Lord, their lives testify that we have a God and who is faithful. And this race is possible. Whatever you're called to and the difficulties you're going through now, God is faithful. And put your life into His hands and draw from His grace so that he can empower you. We're not running alone. The next verse says, focus is very important, and I want to talk a little bit about focus. In verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, we looked several weeks ago at a sermon from Peter walking on the water, and we know that story well. When he kept his eyes on Jesus, his faith was strong, and his focus was on Jesus. He was walking on the water, living victoriously, successful in the waves and in the storms. He was walking on the water. And when he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to see the waves and he began to see the storms and all the things that could happen, fear entered in and he began to sink and he went down. And it is the same in our own lives. When we take our focus and our eyes and our faith off of Jesus, we begin to sink in the same way. We live in a world with many distractions and disappointments. Satan's power lies in temptation, deception, and distraction and lies. He has no power outside of that. So he begins to tempt us. He begins to deceive us. He begins to take our eyes off of Jesus and off of the Word of God unto lies and things that are not true. And he begins to take our focus off of Jesus and onto whatever it is, distractions. Take us away from the Scriptures and away from a relationship with God. And the power of God comes to all of us through faith and through focus on Jesus Christ. It is our only life support as going through the storms of life. Our power comes through faith. And yes, this scripture is following Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith. That's why I told the Baptist pastor, my focus in this salvation is the just shall live by faith. And this faith that we understand, the scriptures talk about, we're justified by faith. It is not just a belief system that we believe Jesus is God. The devil and demons believe also. It's much more than that. It's an all-out reliance on God and placing your life into Jesus' control and following him and living our lives. It affects every area of your life. And so our focus is so important. The power of God comes to us through faith. And when we keep our eyes on Jesus, our faith is strong. And we can overcome the temptations. We can overcome the lies and deceptions that Satan brings. We can overcome and we can be known as overcomers. The problem with many believers is focus. And it's a lesson for myself, first of all. When we focus and look at our problems, it's the waves and the problems in life. The last several weeks, I was not sure how many cars can break down. Miss Andrea was without a car, Dawson was without a car, and we were without a car, and how many cars can go down, and we live in a world we can't operate without a car. I was tired of car problems. And then I got my focus on Jesus. These car problems can be fixed, and it's okay. When we focus on our past, and we're caught in our past, We cannot live faithfully looking back. We must turn our back on sin and our past. Many great men of God, Paul himself, was crucifying and killing Christians, and he had a lot of things in his life that were wrong, very wrong. And he came to the place where he turned his back on his past, and he said, I'm forgetting the things of the past. I press on to the future, facing the future with Jesus Christ and living by faith. When we focus on people, people will let us down. Yes, people will let us down. We live in a brutal world out there. I was called a scumbag. And not by anyone here, make that clear. You get out there in the world, it's brutal. And if I dwelled on that too long, and I finally rose up out of that, and I'm not a scumbag. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. People will let us down and will say hurtful things, but we cannot get caught. We cannot dwell on those thoughts or we're going to sink. And if we get caught in bad thoughts, our failures, even our failures, great people have failed, but there is a way of redemption and there's a way out of our sins and our mistakes and our failures. There's a way to be redeemed and there's a way to come out of it. And that's what we need to tell the world. You can enter the race and you can be restored. Jesus died for sinners, of whom I'm the chief. That's what Paul said, and I feel that way too. So our focus controls our thoughts and our feelings. If we knew how destructive a negative thought is, we would never think a negative thought again. But we do. And Satan brings them into our minds, and we have the choice. Our mind is like a filter. And we need to filter out all the lies and all the deceptions and all the negativity. We need to be renewed in our minds and have our minds renewed so we're not sinking in our Christian life and the race that God has called us to run. The power of focus. Whatever we look at the longest becomes the strongest influence in your life. So our focus is very important. If we focus on fear, fear will grow. If we focus on people, we'll get discouraged. If we focus on ourselves, we'll become self-centered. If we focus on lust, sin will grow and we'll fall in our Christian life. But if we focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we will grow and be successful. We can run the race onto the very end. We can run and cross the finishing line. We can run and feel fulfilled in our Christian life. So Jesus is described here as the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's where our focus needs to be. It didn't start with you or me. The author is the originator, the one who begins the story, writes the book. So Jesus is the author and he is the finisher. And I spent a little bit of time there and I said, I want to really understand what this is saying. So Jesus is the author of our faith. He thought about you before you thought about him. It says in Romans that while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ Jesus died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, while we were living our own way, way before we were ever born, Jesus was the one who died for us, providing salvation. We were helpless. And at the right time, Jesus died. He's the author of our faith and salvation. We're helpless on our own. And at the right time, in the fullness of time, Jesus died. So he's the author. Our story began with Jesus, the author of our faith. He is also the finisher of our faith. And what he begins, he will carry on to completion. Jesus does not start something he will not complete. And it says that in Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will continue to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ until he comes back. So he doesn't start something in your life and walk away and give up. That's not Jesus. That's us. We can do that, but Jesus does not. He's the author and he's the finisher. He has a plan for your life and he wants you to be successful in the race. We have a race set before us. He wants us to engage and run the race because he's the author and the finisher, which means that he loves to bring salvation to the hearts and lives of all people. You may be discouraged this morning. You may be in the race feeling like you cannot finish. I want to encourage you, you can. Jesus is the author and he's the finisher. Don't let Satan tell you anything different. You can rise to the challenge. You can be redeemed of anything and you can be restored and you can be empowered. That's what God wants for our life. We have this race set before us and it is our calling to run with patience and endurance. Yes, if you ever decide to run the 10K race, you'll know that you need endurance. There's going to be times, and that's the part of, I love this part of the race, in the middle stretch, the middle 2 miles, I just feel like that stretch never gets done. It's 2 miles, slightly uphill, but I love that experience. You just keep on going. You walk and then you run. You walk and you run. You cannot stop. And by the end of that, what do you have? Mile 5 is all hill. And then you think you never can do it. And you can. And I will never forget halfway up mile 5, the first time I did it, I was ready to die. I was ready to quit. I wanted to quit so bad. And there were people there with a water hose, a fire truck with a water hose, and they asked me if I want a splash. And I said, yes. And they gave me a splash of water. I will never, as long as I live, forget how good that felt. And I kept on going. And maybe you need that splash of water this morning. We all need it. Another boost. Another word of encouragement. Another word from God that tells you all that, yes, we can cross the finishing line. When life is hard, we're called to run with endurance. You run when you don't feel like it. You run when you're tired. You run as much as you can, but in set boundaries, get rid of all the weights, is what this is saying. So faith is not proven when we start, but it's proven in your continuation and perseverance. Anyone can start strong. It is not hard to start. That's wonderful, starting. The sound blows. First half mile is downhill. Everybody's chatting. And then the real test comes. And that's how it is in our Christian life as well. I want to just point out one more point in this text we cannot bypass. We need our focus on Jesus as our example. Jesus ran this race as well. Jesus endured suffering. Why? Because the joy that was set before him. It says, who for the joy set before him? And this stood out to me. It was the joy that was set before him. He had vision. He knew what was at the end. He knew what was coming when he finished his race. And when he died and he suffered and he was crucified and mocked and all that he went through and all of his ministry, it all came to an end. When he was on the cross, ready to die, he said, it is finished. Salvation is finished for the whole world. And he saw the joy of all the redeemed children of God, you and I here this morning. It's us. The joy that was before him is what allowed him. It says here, for consider him that endured such contradiction against himself. It was for the joy that was set before him. Verse 2. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he saw all of us. So consider Jesus if you're weary, and it was for the joy that was set before him, and the same joy that is set before us is what motivates me to keep studying to preach sermons. It's what keeps me motivated to keep a Bible club ministry going. It is what motivates me. It's the joy. And if I do not see any fruit in my time, hopefully it will come after my time, but it's the joy of a person getting right with God. And I'll do anything for that. And that's a challenge. I'm maybe preaching above my own experience right here. This is a challenge for me, first of all. Consider Jesus if you're weary. So in conclusion, we all have a race set before us. We're not alone. We have a great cloud of witnesses who ran before us. They're testifying that God is faithful. There is joy set before us. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He died for you while you were yet in sins, and he will finish the work he started in your life. We choose to enter the race and how we run. That's really what these verses are saying. We choose how to run. Let's run light and lay aside weights and sins that bog us down and beset us and pull us out of the race. Let's let God speak to each one of us, because these will be different. To finish well, we must lay aside weights and sins and run with endurance unto the end. And Jesus is our great example, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, he went through all of that for you and I, for a church of Jesus Christ, for the redeemed children of God, to be blood washed and be brought into the family of God. It was a joy set before him. And let's let that joy be set before us this morning and run with patience the race that is set before each one of us. Throughout this week and the next week, let's just take time to let God speak to each of our lives individually. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Word of God and the church, the redeemed children of God here in Shenandoah and all across the world. And I thank you, Lord, for this scripture, the heroes of faith, and the calling to lay aside every weight and sin that bogs us down and besets us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. I pray for each one of us individually that we could be all faithful until the end and hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.